Good morning, and welcome to Jonesy, the show that brings you conversations with some of the most interesting people in the world of books, podcasts, radio theater, music, and humor, guaranteed to entertain and enlighten. I'm the host of Jonesy, Ken Jones, no relation, by the way. This is our second episode of Jonesy, and it's amazing we lasted this long. Since it's a few days before Halloween, I'm doing the intro live from a neighboring graveyard, as you can hear in the background. I'm visiting the tombs of my previous shows, The Holy Crowley Hour and Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, and paying tribute, along with a bill for the plots. Oy, you won't believe how much it costs the plots these days. Before I turn into a third-rate radio Svengoolie, let's get back to this episode of Jonesy, which fortunately has nothing to do with horror or Halloween. Instead, we'll be celebrating another holiday today, one we look forward to every year, the Portland Book Festival. The festival, formerly known as Wordstock, started out in 2005 and has become an annual tradition here in Portland, and our festival preview with its director, Amanda Bullock, has become a delightful annual tradition for me. It's a literary miracle how Amanda organizes this huge and complex event every year. She brings in some of the most celebrated authors in the Pacific Northwest and the rest of the world, for that matter, along with a host of up-and-coming writers. Together, they represent a wide variety of genres: fiction, nonfiction, poetry, graphic novels, young adult, and children's literature. There's truly something for readers of all ages and tastes. The Portland Book Festival is usually a one-day in-person event. Last year, due to the pandemic, it took place as an all-virtual event spread over 2 weeks. All the sessions were live-streamed and recorded for on-demand listening. This year, the festival takes a hybrid approach, with virtual programming the week of November 8th through the 12th, and a one-day in-person event on Saturday, November 13th. Amanda's here to give us all the lowdown on the festival's authors, sessions, writing workshops, book fair, and food carts, as well as a sneak peek at the Portland debut of Gastro Obscura, the world's most unusual vending machine. Okay, enough with the spooky sound effects and on with the show. Please join us for our conversation with Amanda Bullock, which is already in progress. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Ken. This is one of my favorite annual traditions.
And mine too. And of course, as mentioned in the intro, the book festival itself is an annual tradition here in Portland. In past years, going back to 2005, the festival was a one-day in-person event. Last year, due to the pandemic, and that was before vaccine, the BV days, it took place as an all-virtual event spread over 2 weeks. All the sessions were live-streamed, recorded for on-demand listening. And for this year's Book Fest, you're taking a very interesting approach, a hybrid approach, a little bit of both.
We are. And for us, hybrid means that we have a week of virtual events, and then we have a day of in-person events. And they're kind of separated. You can definitely go to both, but the in-person events are not being live streamed. So I think that's an important distinction for folks. So we have 5 days of virtual events. We also have some podcasts, and then we have a smaller version of, if you've been to the festival before, what you know and love as the one-day Portland Book Festival.
Which I know and love very well. Yeah. And the hybrid, the way I look at it, is it's kind of a best of both worlds. Live streaming, it's great for folks who are concerned about attending an in-person event at this time. It's convenient also. I mean, you could watch from home. You could wear your pajamas if you like, have a beer, whatever. And the in-person event is a way of getting together with your fellow book lovers, which I always enjoy. Seeing, maybe meeting some of your favorite authors, getting your book signed. Did that decision go into the hybrid, advantages of both approaches?
Definitely. I think especially right now, with being sort of in this halfway world, I've been calling it. We're not quite out. We're not all as much in as we were at this time last year in terms of the pandemic. And
that's a very strange feeling going out.
I don't like the halfway world.
I know.
but we were really thinking about audiences, like you said, like some people aren't ready or can't be out in public yet, and how we offer them something this year and offer them a way to be a part of the festival. And then authors as well. There's some authors who aren't traveling yet. Some folks are coming in from out of town. And so both trying to meet authors and audiences where they're at so that we can be really responsive to the current moment and kind of how people want to access these kinds of events.
Now, given the COVID pandemic, and fortunately, there's a very effective vaccine widely available, but there will be health and safety precautions taking place at the event, and some of them are mandated by the state of Oregon.
That's true. Yeah. To attend the in-person event, we are requiring everyone, volunteers, staff, authors, and attendees to show proof of vaccine or a negative PCR test within 72 hours. Please check our website for any updates to those guidelines. And everyone, of course, has to wear a mask pretty much at all times.
And that's really not unusual. I mean, I've been to some Timber Soccer's games. It's the same way. We were in San Francisco a few months ago, and every indoor place, restaurants, wherever you went, required masks and proof of vaccination.
Luckily, Portland's pretty well behaved, and like book nerds especially are pretty good at following the rules. So
yes, I'm counting on you book nerds. Now, every year, I'm in total awe of how much planning and work goes into putting on the festival. And a lot of it is your doing, Amanda, as director. When did you start the planning for this year's festival? And I know there must have been a lot of uncertainty. I guess I was more certain than I should have been last November that we'd be out of the woods by now.
Yeah, I was very hopeful too. But I think that what we have is really, again, like responsive and adapted to what we can do right now. And because of that, because of the desire to be so responsive, the planning process was really different this year. Last year, by the time we made the decision to go virtual, I was far into booking authors and was really changing an in-person festival into a virtual festival. And this year, we were able to build from the ground up to our format. So it looks a lot different. And we just kind of waited as long as possible to make decisions so that we could be adapting to the current climate. Like if we had made all the decisions last February, they would look one way. If we'd made all the decisions last June, they would look a different way. So it's really challenging because we really spend a year or even arguably more planning each festival. It happens really, really far in advance. There's a lot of moving parts.
Now, as part of that planning, you have an incredible lineup every year of both established up-and-coming authors. They represent a wide variety of genres, fiction, nonfiction, poetry, graphic novels, young adult, children's literature. How do you decide on the authors you'll include and go about making those connections and getting commitments?
It's hard, honestly. I never can invite everyone that I want to. One of my favorite parts about the festival is the density and that we have so many authors that are at different stages in their career, people who are on their first book, and then really well-established, award-winning, legendary authors. So yeah, I talk to publicists. Those are some of my most trusted advisors in terms of who is a good fit for the festival and who might be interested in coming. This year, of course, it was much different because in some sense, we had access to more folks. We have some of our podcast events with international authors that might not have been able to travel otherwise. The festival is really focused on authors in conversation. So I'm also looking for books that are connected to each other. Like typically I'm looking for, oh, I think that this novel might be a really good pairing actually with this poetry collection or something like that. So a lot of it also has to do with how the books sort of play with each other.
I'll mention some of the sessions and I think listeners will see the planning and the careful research you did to pair writers, not just two, but maybe three or four in a session. It's just amazing. You mentioned the international authors, of course, now with live streaming and the podcast, national. And then we have quite a few representing the Pacific Northwest, specifically Portland. How do you determine that mix of the national and local?
Yeah, luckily we have a wealth of amazing authors who are local here to the regionally local here to the Pacific Northwest.
Oh my God, yes. We have a great literary community.
An embarrassment of riches. And so the festival, and because of Literary Arts' mission too, as a mission-driven nonprofit organization supporting Oregon writers, and the festival, the Portland Book Festival, as far as I know, is the largest general interest book festival in the Pacific Northwest. So we also really are focused on the broader region in terms of who we're thinking about as quote-unquote local. And so we're always trying to feature a really high percentage of local authors in the mix and having them in conversation with folks who might be coming from farther afield. So it's definitely a goal and a priority of the festival to feature that local talent. This year in person, there is an even higher percentage of local authors.
Of course,
due to travel restrictions. So, but it's been a real pleasure to have the opportunity to really highlight that work. So
I thought I'd mention a few sessions, starting with the Louise Erdrich event. Mm. She has a new novel out, The Sentence, which I haven't read, but it's been described as a wickedly funny ghost story. She's coming in live remote in conversation, so she won't actually be in Portland. But the person in conversation with her, Portland's Trevino Brings Plenty, will be here. And this is a pairing of Native American writers. Louise is from the Chippewa Nation. Trevino Brings Plenty, whose poetry I love, is Dakota Sioux. Did you want to tell us a little bit about that event? And just to confirm, Louise is the only one at the in-person event, the only author who is coming in remotely?
Louise is coming in remotely, yes, because I'll do whatever Louise wants to do for her event. and Trevino's here. And honestly, Louise actually requested Trevino, so I can take no credit for that pairing. It was their own genius. And we love Trevino at Literary Arts. Like, he's so great. And he's won a fellowship from us, and we've worked with him a bunch. So we're always happy to feature him on stage too. We have one other event that is being broadcast in, which is our annual partnership with the National Book Foundation. And so we have three National Book Award longlist and finalist authors who are also coming in via broadcast. And that is just due to logistics and planning and all the complications around all of that this year. So those two will have the interviewer and the audience will be live in person, but the authors will be appearing on screen, which I've actually seen done, and it works really well. And you still get, like you were talking about, that energy of being in community and hearing the event. It makes it really dynamic. It's definitely different than sitting in your pajamas. Right. In a good way, in a positive way. Yeah.
And we should mention that there's an additional fee because you also get the book with your ticket. So it is kind of an extra ticketed event.
It is. That's the only, usually we have two, but this year it's just the one event where you do need to purchase the book in order to attend, but it's your festival pass plus the book. There's no additional fee on top of the price of the book. And you'll get the book that day. And the book comes out that week, so it'll be hot off the press.
Yeah, fresh. You'll get one of the first copies.
Yep.
Now, I want to mention a few of the other people at the in-person event, and this also shows some of the pairing. Gary Steingart, I'm looking forward to his book. It's a new novel called Our Country Friends. He's in conversation with John Raymond, a writer here in Portland. A lot of his books have been, I think he writes some of the screenplays too. Mm-hmm. So some of his work has been adopted to the screen. Omar El Akkad, also based in Portland, Miriam J.A. Chansey, they're to be talking about their new novels with, I think, your boss, right? Andrew Proctor, the executive director. Yeah.
He's excited because it turns out all three of them are Canadian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Talking about Canadian.
And we have Kristen Radke. She has a new book. I didn't know what to call it. It's not a graphic novel because it's nonfiction, but it's...
I like the term graphic narrative.
Actually. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
And that's called...
I don't know what she calls it, but that's what I call it.
Oh, yeah. We should ask. But that's called Seek You, S-E-E-K, A Journey Through Loneliness. And I read it was one of Lit Hub's most anticipated books of 2021. It just looks truly unique and fascinating. There's an all Pacific Northwest session with authors Stacy D. Flood and Willie Vlaughton, whose books have also been adapted for the screen. And that's hosted by an author I actually interviewed last year when her book Godshot came out, Chelsea Beaker. And then there's one I'm especially looking forward to because I'll have that on an upcoming show. The book is Dispatches from Anaris. It's coming out from Forest Avenue Press. It's a book of short fiction written by contemporary authors, writers, in tribute to Ursula K. Le Guin. And that panel includes four contributors to the book. They'll be there in person, including a writer I love quite a bit, Renee Denfeld. She's a local writer with international reputation. Those are ones I kind of picked out. Amanda, did I leave anything of the in-person events out that you wanted to mention?
I think there's a little something for everyone. We do have some YA events this year too that I'm really excited about because those are always really fun and a really great audience. And of course, people of all ages read YA. We have Michelle Ruiz-Keel, who's a local author for City of Roses. She's really great. And then we have J.C. Geiger for The Great Big One is the name of the book, I'm pretty sure.
And there's one I was going to mention, one I was going to mention too in a little, but I wanted to talk about some of the people doing the live stream sessions. Mm-hmm. Some big names: Rita Dove, Brandon Taylor, Lauren Groff, Maggie Nelson, Ruth Ozeki, all well established. Are there any debut authors we should be on the lookout for, either live streaming or at the in-person event?
Definitely. Debut authors are a huge, important part of the book festival and one of my personal favorites. In the live stream, we have a great memoir called Beautiful Country that is a debut. I'm checking my list, so I'm cheating a little bit here.
I cheated quite a bit. So
there's a lot of people. So in person, we have a local author, Chris Stuck, who has a debut story collection called Give My Love to the Savages. Chris was also an Oregon Literary Fellowship recipient, so we're really excited about that. We have a debut novel. She had a story collection last year from Shruti Swami. Her novel is called The Archer, and she will be here in person. She's going to be in conversation with Claire Bay Watkins, moderated by Carrie Luna, and I'm really excited about that one. Definitely some exciting debuts in the mix at the festival.
Now, for the in-person event, and again, that's Saturday, November 13th, you're bringing back the book fair, which a lot of people love. There's a variety of exhibitors and a lot of publishers. People can buy books there. One popular part of that was the book signings, where you'd buy your book and then the authors would have a time slot where they'd be on stage and you could line up and get your book signed and talk to them a little bit. Will you have something like that, or is that not a good idea this year?
We are planning to have book signings. Of course, everyone will have to wear masks, and there are going to be plexiglass barriers just to keep people at the appropriate distance.
Maybe like getting your book signed at Trader Joe's.
A little bit.
We're very used to all that, the plexiglass and all that.
So that's the plan. It's possible some authors won't sign. And if they do, we'll do our best to make sure that they sign stock so that people can still buy a signed book, even if they can't get it personalized. That's definitely an advantage of coming in person. And with your full price festival pass, you get a $5 voucher that you can spend at the book fair or at any of the bookstores that day. So you automatically get $5 off whatever you want to buy.
And since this is Portland, you'll also have an assortment of food trucks. And I think you had like 6 or 7 when I looked at the list, quite a variety of food. I don't think anybody will go hungry. What struck me was there's a very special vending machine called the Gastro Obscura. And that ties in with one of the sessions. There's actually a book, Gastro Obscura, Food Adventurer's Guide by Cecily Wong and Dylan Thuris. Can you tell us about that vending machine, which is extremely unique? We're lucky to have it in Portland, at least for this limited time.
It's true. The vending machine is embarking on a national tour. Gastro Obscura is great. There's a website. It's connected to the Atlas Obscura Enterprise. And Cecily is a relatively new Portlander, although she actually did the festival in 2015 for her novel, Diamond Head. So it's really cool to have Cecily back for Gastro Obscura as well. But the Gastro folks have built this vending machine that is going to have for sale some of the wondrous foods from around the world featured in the book. So they have like hot sauce, and they're all prepackaged and shelf stable. And they have, I remember reading about this a few years ago, they have those berries that if you eat them, it like makes sweet things taste sour and different stuff like that. Wow. So you can have an extra adventure at the food carts if you get some berries. Yeah, they're talking about having some food demos too. There's been some discussion of wine savoring and other different things. So definitely check out the vending machine, which will be set up just outside the art museum. And we'll have some action around that as well.
And I want to mention Cecily's panel. She'll be talking, of course, about the book Gastro Obscura. She's one of the co-authors. And she'll be on a panel with Kate Lebo, who wrote a book called The Book of Difficult Fruit. So you've got this extremely good pairing with this world-class food writer in Portland, Liz Crane, whose latest book came out last year, Dumplings Equals Love, kind of a history of the dumpling and also a cookbook. Now, there's so much going on. And as the commercial says, wait, there's more. You'll also have writing classes. Some of them are in person, some live stream. For the in-person, I know there's a science fiction workshop given by Matt Smith, another great Portland writer, Kimberly Kim Parsons, who has a book of short stories out. She's giving a class on writing great beginnings. And I've read her book. And she writes the best beginnings of the short fiction. So what a great teacher. I wonder, Amanda, can you give us some of the details, what the classes are like? How do people sign up? Is there a cutoff number for participants?
There is a cutoff number. I'm not sure what it is for in-person. I think it might be 8. So if you are interested, make sure you sign up soon. You can get all the information at literary-arts.org, and you can find the link to the classes there. There are some virtual classes available as well. And we have some virtual classes for kids and then an in-person class for high schoolers that will be taking place the day of the festival as well, which is the high school class is free, but requires pre-registration. And then the adult classes do have a registration fee, but we do have some access rates and other things available for folks who might be looking for that. But yeah, there's all kinds of genres. Some of the authors you mentioned, like Stacey D. Flood, is teaching a class. We have Jay Ponteri, who's one of our...
I'm actually reading his memoir, Wedlocked, now, which came out, I think, about 8 years ago. But he's got a new book coming out, too, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's a wonderful local writer.
Sure, and he's teaching an in-person memoir class on that Saturday. And the Saturday in-person classes will be at the Literary Arts Space. So there's lots of room there for folks to spread out. You will, of course, have to show proof of vaccination and wear a mask for those as well.
And I know one of the virtual classes is called Creating Single Panel Cartoons, which seems very specialized, but we enjoy them so much. People who want to do their own, it's perfect opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's too for some writers practicing or kind of getting involved in doing cartoons or graphic literature style thing is a great way. I'm not a writer myself, but I've heard from other folks that it's kind of a good way to sort of stretch your brain and like do something similar in a different way. So even if you're not trying to be a cartoonist, that might be a good class for you to take a try at.
The extremes, kind of the Family Circus to the Far Side. They're both single panel cartoons.
You can't see it because I'm blurred out, but this whole bookshelf is all comics. So.
You know, I'm the same way. And my friend S.W. Conser, a cable colleague, recently had an author on. He wrote a book on the Marvel Universe. Is it Douglas Woke?
Yeah, he'll be at the festival. Yeah, Douglas Woke, all of the Marvels. He read every single Marvel comic. Which seems like impossible. And he will be in conversation with Kelly Sue DeConnick, who has written Captain Marvel and Avengers Assemble. And she also, of course, writes Bitch Planet and Pretty Deadly. And so they'll be talking about that book, which is, Douglas is not a comics writer, as far as I know, artist.
I don't think he is. Yeah, but a scholar, obviously a scholar.
Really, like, I think... it spans so much time and those stories change so much and contain multiple universes within themselves. So I think his conversation with Kelly Sue will be really, really fascinating. Whether you read comics or not, you've surely encountered the Marvel Universe in some form.
I think so with the movies. But in addition to our great literary community, I think Portland's one of the capitals of comic art and writing. We have Image Comics in town, Dark Horse Comics. So probably there'll be quite a few people lining up for that particular session.
Virtual, we have Aminder Dhaliwal, who also did the festival a couple of years ago for Woman World, and she'll be back for her book, Cyclopedia Exotica.
Now, before we go, Amanda, how can people find out more and buy tickets for the live stream and the in-person event? I think there's usually around 10,000 attendees. There have been for the most recent in-person Portland Book Festivals. So if you're limiting ticket sales this year, and I think the number is 3,000 is the cutoff, it might be a good idea to buy them soon.
Yeah, they're also cheaper if you buy them in advance. So passes in advance are $15 and they'll go up to 25 day of. They do get you into the Portland Art Museum as well. We are capping at 3,000 this year. We're usually capped at 10, and all of the venues will be limited to 75% capacity to allow a little bit more space for folks to move around as well. You can get those passes at literary-arts.org /PBF. The virtual festival, we also have passes for. They are available on a sliding scale, which slides down to zero. So you can get a free pass if you have the means and the inclination to get a not free pass. We really appreciate it.
It takes a lot of money to put on the festival. So
it really does.
And it really is. It's quite a bargain. I would have to say for all you get to see, and these world-class authors and up and coming authors. And again, just kind of being around people like ourselves, people who love books and read them and enjoy them. And some of us write them. So it's a great opportunity and a wonderful tradition. Now I'm going to ask you one last question. Probably one I ask you every time, and it might be somewhat unfair, and that's, are there any authors on your bucket list that you'd love to get for the festival? And you've had this great, you even had Tom Hanks one year.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's anybody else on your bucket list that hasn't come to the festival yet, or is there somebody you have in mind for the future?
I am so stuck in this year because it's so soon. It's honestly really hard for me to think forward to the future. You know, there's definitely so many authors that I love. So I think just see who comes in 2022. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. I think the festival is so wide ranging and it's really meant to offer something to everybody too. So
maybe I should ask, do you take requests? Do people actually come up to you and say, Amanda, next year, can you invite so-and-so, my favorite writer?
They do, whether I take the request or not. No, but right. I love hearing from folks because I'm very aware that it's not the Amanda Festival. Like, it's meant to be for the audience and we really want to respond to those interests. I would love to bring more romance literature into the festival. We have Jasmine Guillory this year, and we did a romance event a couple years ago. I think there's a great audience for that here, and those events are really fun. So
incredible audience. I was at a publishing convention, several years ago. We learned that romance readers probably are the biggest book buyers of all. Mm-hmm. They'll read maybe 2-3 books a week, as opposed to say one, Jonathan Franzen book. there's a big audience for romance, for mystery, you know, for a lot of those genres.
Yeah, we are a smaller festival, so it's really hard to really do everything, but I really try to represent as many kinds of genres and as many kinds of writers as I can and really try to create some sort of access point for any kind of reader, whether you read 3 books a week or you read like 1 book a year. Hopefully there's something for you at the festival.
And there certainly is at this year's festival.
Thank you.
Well, Amanda, again, thanks so much for joining us today. I mentioned before we started recording how busy you must be. So I really appreciate the time you took. I want to thank you for the annual preview of this great annual festival, dedicated to books, the people who write them, and all of us who read and enjoy them. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Well, that's all for this episode of Jonesy here on KBOO Community Radio. If you missed any part of the show, we'd just like to hear it all again. You can stream this episode and previous episodes online at kboo.fm/program/Jonesy, J-O-N-E-S-Y, or just search for it on the KBOO website. Before we head out the door, a big thank you to our guest today, Amanda Bullock, director of the Portland Book Festival, which runs November 8th through the 13th. You can find out more about the festival, the virtual sessions, and the one-day in-person event on Saturday the 13th at literary-arts.org. KBOO, by the way, is your community radio station, and we get over 80% of our funding from our members. To support the station and programming like this, there's no better time to become a member yourself or renew your membership. Just go to kboo.fm and click on the big donate button. All of us here at the station, even Jonesy himself, thank you for that. Just to note that Jonesy comes to you every other week on the 2nd and 4th Thursdays of the month from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Tune in for our next show on Thursday, November 11th at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Ken Jones, no relation, saying stay tuned for a special showing of tonight's creature feature, Abbott and Costello Meet Joe Rogan. Scary.